where did all this happen? Where did it come from? How do we begin to grasp and really get a handle on what's happening? We've seen many people who have sought to take over and to control the world. And when they've sought to take over to control the world, many people have suffered as a result. I'd like to trim your thoughts just for a few moments. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. The scripture says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation, and on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Whoa. What we're going to be looking at as we are taking our journey through the text, and we're beginning to see how that God is working in a very, very significant way. We got to understand who is God. We got to understand who man is. And now we've also got to be introduced to this guy who's called Lucifer. And when we begin to see him, we're going to see how that there are a lot of things that are transpiring. But before we get there, I got to call on your mind from last week. Why did God decide to create a wife for Adam? This section, what's the answer? Wasn't good for man to be alone, was it? He needed a helpmate. Well, why weren't any of the animals a suitable companion for Adam? This group right here. They were not like him, couldn't communicate with him, didn't have emotions with him. Well, let's go. How did God make the first woman? From his ribs. A guy from Louisiana knows about ribs. Okay, and so from his rib, and that's how he came from it. And so the last question we think here, what did God institute between man and woman? You got it. He instituted marriage between man and woman. But now God wants you to know the rest of the story. That's really where we're coming from. What is the rest of the story? Paul Harvey used to say it. Well, we kind of grabbed this by two kings. The king of Babylon. Now this is out of the history of the Old Testament. The king of Babylon, we're going to hear how it was talking about a literal king. But there was more to it. Many times God tells us a story to allow us to see something much bigger. King of Tyre, Ezekiel, he tells us the story. It becomes much bigger than this. And then the Lord Jesus is going to tell us right out of heaven, he says in Luke 16, 18, he says, "And he saw them. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Where does that put Satan? On earth. What do we know about this guy? Ezekiel says it right there. It says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." You were perfect. Can you imagine that? Good to see you, Diane. Can you imagine that? How perfect was Lucifer? When God created him, he was of beauty. Scripture says he was complete. Perfect. Until what? Until iniquity was found inside of him. And so I want to give you just a snapshot in history. I'm fast-forwarding you to the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, he's telling us about the end of time. And in the end of time, he says, "Here's this statue, but the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. Whoa, wait a minute. And behold, Michael, one of the archangels, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I'd been left alone there with the kings of Persia." End of time, we see these kings, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, And in the introductory video, you heard about many of those leaders who were seeking to try to overcome. But then, all of a sudden, we come out of Luke and we see these words. Then he goes and takes with him seven spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered there, and the last state was worse than the first. Coming out of Luke 11:26. The last state, what was happening? There were demons inside. One demon had left. He cleaned up his life. He started going to church. He quit drinking, quit running around, quit doing all these things. And now he was a walking, talking believer, but he didn't put Christ in his heart on the throne. He let himself be filled with pride. Seven more demons came in. He wasn't a Christian. Seven more demons came into his life. The last estate was worse than the first. Sometimes you will see people who will come to church, not believers, hearing, cleaning up their life. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you see, they're out on the streets and they're worse than they could ever have been. What happened? What happened? History, Ramses from Egypt, Sargon II from Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius. So we see the different countries: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, China, Europe, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, Germany, Russia, China, Iraq. All of these guys said, I'm going to be a world leader. I'm going to be in charge of this thing. You're going to see me rise up. I will be. And what happened? Joseph Stalin's Russia, 20 million people brutally died underneath him, but he said, I will be. Mao Zedong, worst man-made famine, estimated over 40 million people starved to death, but he says, I will be. Saddam Hussein gassed over 5,000 people because he said, I will be. Benito Mussolini, back up one. Benito Mussolini, Italy, over 400,000 Italians killed in the Second World War. At least 30,000 Ethiopians killed. Adolf Hitler, 11 million, 6 million Jews. It is said 20,946,000 victims as a result, because he said, I will be. We will be the superior race. Where did all of this stuff come from? Where did it come from? Last night I was reading the paper. Six hour long standoff ends in Mississippi, officer dead. February the 20th. Living in fear, resident on the south side, deal with increased violence here in Columbus and Lowndes County. That's February the 20th. After shots rang out. Where is all of this stuff coming from? Isn't there an end in sight? What is happening? I want to know why. Why? I'm going to answer that question why, then I've got to go back to a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding of the Scripture. Because what I need to know are that the angels are created beings. A lot of times you see these angels flying around and are so happy and so beautiful. Angels are created beings. Look at this. Speaking about Lucifer, Ezekiel 28:14, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were what? In all your ways. You know, a lot of times we kind of put old Eve on we give her a hard time, don't we, in the garden. But look how pretty Lucifer was. Perfect in all to what? Till iniquity was found. Lawlessness. Huh. Lucifer rebelled against God, and all the and many of the other angels followed him. Ezekiel 28:13 says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God." Whoa, where's the garden at? What have we been talking about? The garden of what? Garden of Eden. How beautiful was that place? Yeah. Man, that's where old Adam kicked off. That's where he started off. Man, Adam was getting it done. And there in the garden, we find this beautiful creature. One of the most beautiful created beings ever been. You were created. He was a created being. Angels are creations. But think about this. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all your ways from that day until iniquity was found in you. And what's iniquity? Crookedness. Wait a minute. When Lucifer started out, did he appear crooked? Perverse? Moral distortion? Bend? No, he didn't. He was complete in all of his way. He was burnt. He was one of the cherubs, one of the high ranking up there with God until sin came in. Until sin. Ezekiel 28:17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You were corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you down to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze upon you. You want to get wealthy today, what do? Show off your beauty, some of us, like Troy. You know, show off your beauty. Show off your intelligence, like Gene. So, I mean, and you make the huge, big, and then all of a sudden, that's what he did. He was beautiful. If you don't think sex will sell, folks, look at Hollywood. If you don't think intelligence will sell, folks, look at our higher institutions. Look at who they're hiring with the PhDs and all these others. Intelligence, yeah, they're intelligent. They're beautiful. Same thing that, look at the position that he had. Lucifer was up there with God. What more could you ask for? He had it all. But he was created with a free will. Landon, you know what free will means? It means you have a choice. That's what it means. You're free to choose. So you have a choice there. Even Lucifer himself had a choice. But what did he choose? He chose to aspire to be above God and take that place of supreme ruler. That's what he wanted to be. Forgetting that he was created. He said, I want to be as a God. Does that sound familiar? Do you know anybody that wants to be as a God? Do you know anybody that wants to be in control of their own life? Do you know anybody that wants to say, okay, I will do my things my way, the way I want it, when I want it, and I will not let anybody else override, oversee, overcome? No, Lucifer. He wanted to be as God. What does that mean, Don? To be as God. God's perfect, isn't he? God's powerful, isn't he? God's beautiful, isn't he? God's above all. God's in control. So now, here's what Lucifer said. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to be in charge. So this is what's happening here. And because he said, I'm going to do it my way, this is what Satan said. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the father's sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. But what did God say to him? You go to hell. That's what he said to him. You're going to be brought down to the lowest pits. To that lowest place that we call hell. Have you ever heard Invictus? Y'all heard that poem? Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the begloaning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Sound like somebody else we know? I'm the master. I'm the captain. I'm in charge. And so people are crying out today, I'm in charge. So I got to ask you a question. Who's on the throne? I mean, you really get down to it. Who is on the throne? Is he? Who's on the throne of your heart? Who's got number one position in your heart? Who's the number one position in your soul? That which communicates with man. Who's number one? Who's number one position in your mind? Who's on the throne of your strength, of your time, of your talents? Who's on the throne of your worship? I really want to know. So let's rip away the mask, okay? Jesus had a way of cutting through the chase. He said, let's put all this together. Let's just get rid of it. Let's see what this thing is all about. And so he says, Matthew 25:41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? Hell was never prepared for people who did not believe in Jesus Christ. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They rebelled against God, and so therefore, those in rebellion, where did they go? They're going to a prepared place. Where are they going? They're going to a fiery place. Where are they going? They're going to a place of punishment that fits the course. Those who had been at the throne and serving of God and rebelled against God, God said, I prepared a place for you. Now, who will join them? Those who followed in the rebellion. Either Christ is on the throne or they follow in the rebellion. Jesus said, what is your name? He said, Legion. Because many demons entered him. And he begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. You know what the demons know? Who are demons? Demons are fallen angels. Demons are the angels that rebelled against God. Demons are the angels that followed Lucifer, followed Satan. Okay? That's who the demons are. And now they know where they're headed. They know they're headed to the abyss. And they ask Jesus, they know who Jesus is. The demons cried out, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. But right now, don't command us to go to the abyss, the eternal place. They asked him. They know the destiny. The followers followed. Jesus said about Satan, let me tell you who they're following. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Who is this guy? Why? I asked the question during the beginning of the message. Why did these things happen? It's because of this guy. People are tuning in and listening when these guys say, I will be the ruler of the world. I will reestablish the Roman Empire. I will do... They're listening to this guy. And so are the people listening in Columbus, Mississippi to this guy right here. They're listening to a liar. They're listening to a murderer. That's who they're listening to. God knew what Lucifer was thinking all the time and what he was planning. So he said in Isaiah 14:13, he says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. For you said in your heart. God knew what was going on. There's no secrets to God. None. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open eyes to Him. What does that last part say? We must give account. Who must give account? All of us. And what are you going to hide from God? God removed Lucifer and his angels from the position as God's servant. The Scripture says in Isaiah 14:12 and following, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you weak in the nations? Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. Yet you shall be brought down. Ask Adolf Hitler. You shall be brought down. Ask Mussolini. You shall be brought down. Ask Saddam Hussein. You shall be brought down. People can claim what they want to, but the end result is they will be brought down. Ezekiel 28:16, by the abundance of your training, you have become filled with violence within, and you have sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, overcoming cherub. See how high he was? From the midst of the fiery stone, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted because of your wisdom. For the sake of your splendor, I cast you down. I laid you before a king that they may gaze on you. Whoa. You profane thing. Lord Jesus comes along and says to us very plainly, then He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, where? Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Does God hold back? And you say, my God wouldn't do that. My God wouldn't send somebody to hell. Well, what did God do? What is the proof? Got it. 2 Peter 2:4 says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment, what do you think God's going to do to you? God didn't spare the angels. Why would God treat you any differently? The same God, the same Creator. Jude 1:6 says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains unto the darkness for the day of judgment. Everlasting chains. Everyone will face the day of judgment. There is not one person who will not face the day of judgment. And so what do we learn? In Job, God was in heaven on the throne. Lucifer comes. He had access. He was cast to the earth. But God still allowed him to have access to heaven. So he comes and he appears before God in heaven. And God asks him the question, what have you been doing, Lucifer? And he said, I've just been walking up and down the earth. My translation, chewing up everybody I come into contact with. Nobody. I've got no competition. I've got no competition. I wonder if Lucifer is saying that about Columbus, Mississippi. I wonder if he's walking the streets of Columbus and say, I've got no competition. He's loose on planet Earth, folks. He's not in hell right now. He's going to hell one day. But what did the Lord God say to him? You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest place of the pit. That's where you're headed, Lucifer. That's where you're going, Lucifer. So God prepared the lake of fire for Lucifer and his angels. Hell is a real place. And I want you to capture something in Matthew 25:41. I want you to capture that hell is an everlasting fire. How long is everlasting? You got it. Everlasting. Doesn't burn out, does it? Did you notice it's fire? People want to say, hell's not real. God in heaven is real, then hell's real. If heaven is real, then hell's real. And so therefore, the God who created the heavens and the earth also created a place called hell, and He did it for the fallen angels, and all of those who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will burn everlasting in fire that was prepared. It is a prepared place. Revelation 20:10 says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night for how long? Ever and ever. We know where Satan's going. And we know who's going to be there. And we know what God said is going to happen to those that go there. Hell is the place of torments. So Lucifer, let's boil this thing down. Lucifer and his angels hate God and they hate you. You have so many people who want to say, well, I made a pact with the devil. Well, you made a pact with somebody that hates your guts. And the only thing that they want to do is destroy you. They will. Yes, they will. Oh, well, I got power. You got destructive power. Satan means enemy, adversary, opponent. Satan's angels are devils, demons, unclean spirits, and evil spirits. So what do we say? What are we to do? Be sober. Hey, Christian, be sober. Hey, Christian, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You mean Satan's after you? You got it. You got it. Satan is after you. That's the facts. That's the reason why you've got to be sober. You've got to be under control. Your mind has got to be right. You got to be vigilant. You got to be working at this thing. It doesn't just happen. You just go through life as what some people call normal Christian, and they just go to church and they sing their song and they go home and they go to church and they live their life all the way. They're meat for the devil. If they're not sober and vigilant and preparing to fight the devil, then folks, they will be brought down. You can say, but they're Christian. That's right. But what does this verse say? Be vigilant. You better be getting ready. You better be sober. You better be under control. What do you see? What do you see? Huh? I mean, on that top left, what do you see? Bunch of squares. That's right. It looks like little pixels, that's what you see there. That's exactly right. That's what you see there, isn't it? But what do you see over on the right side? It's kind of fuzzy, isn't it? Hard to tell what it is. What do you see on the bottom left? It's beginning to look a little, but the color's different, isn't it? It's black and white. And what do you see on the right side? What do you see? Would you be afraid if you were just looking at the top picture? Would you be afraid if you're looking at the right picture? I mean, isn't that the way life is? I mean, life is a bunch of dots being connected. And we go through life connecting the dots, like playing the game. And because we're playing the game, we can't really see it, understand what's there, but there's a picture there. We're connecting the dots. Give me a break. Life is out of focus. Give me a break. It's not colorful. What do you see now? You see it clearly now, don't you? You see clearly now because it's broken. It's brought into focus. See, that's what Satan does not want you to see. He does not want it to be brought into focus. Because if you see Satan for who he really is, you'll see him with his venom. You'll see him coming after you. He is ready to strike you, but he doesn't want you to see it. He wants you to make it up and say, oh, it's just pixels. I don't really understand it. That's the old days of black and white. That's the old days of just in the stone. But boy, when you begin to see it as it really is, you begin to see Satan. What do you see? Help me out here. Danny, wake up. What do you see? You don't see anything? Bunch of pixels. You see anything, Savannah? Squares. That's right. You think that there's some words up there. Well, that's maybe. Well, what do you see now? Can you make that out? Can you see it, Dusty? Can you see what it is? Is it a little better? Tell me now, what do you see? Exactly right. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Did you get the picture? Do you see how when it starts coming into focus, when God starts coming into focus, what happens? You got to submit to God. Dustin, you got to resist the devil. If you submit to God and resist the devil, what's he going to do? He's going to flee, isn't he? That's exactly what he said. The battle's on, folks. We've been talking about God who created the heavens and the earth. We've been talking about man and woman, how they were created and their position in life. But now we've also been talking about Satan. The reality of who Satan is and what he's doing, and the battle is on. So when we look at this, we've got some real questions. Who's winning in your life? Who's winning in your life? You know, there's only two directions. There's only up for heaven, and there's only down for hell. So I've got to ask you the question, who's winning? There's two people who are feeding your thoughts. One that is feeding your thought is the Lord Jesus who loves you. And the other that is feeding your thought is Satan who hates you. Now, what are you putting in your mind? What are you letting your mind be filled with? With the one who loves you or the one who hates you? It really is that simple. Now that you know him, now that he's coming into focus and you see who Satan really is, and now it's coming into focus, you see who Jesus really is and the deliverance. Now the question is, what are you going to feel in your heart? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we've got to get real. And we've got to stand before you. There was a time that we didn't know what Satan looked like. All we could see was the beauty. But now, Lord, you laid him out. And we can see the death and the lying and the corruption of who he really is. Father, there was a time that we didn't know who Jesus was. The one who gave his life for us, who loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. Who lives today at the right hand of God the Father. And when we draw nigh to him, Satan has to run. So Lord, in this time, I'm asking you, Lord, to fill the mind with your love. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to touch the heart to bring about change. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the deal. You got a 4-lane highway. It's traveling up here. You're traveling and you're on this road. You made this trip. And you're going down this 4-lane highway. And all of a sudden you say, uh-oh, I'm going the wrong way. So you have to decide to get off the road, go over the bypass, get on the side, and go back the right way of destination. That's called repentance. You have to make a decision to get off the road and to change the direction. If you'd like to change the direction this morning, I'm going to ask you right where you're seated. Let's just bow our heads, okay? Guys, let's just bow our heads. Right now, if you're going the wrong way and you want to get off the road, go over the interstate, and go back the right direction. In other words, repent of your sins and follow Jesus. I want you to ask Jesus to do that right now. And you can say it just like I told you. Jesus, I'm going the wrong way. I want to get off this road. I want to cross over, and I want to get on the right road. Help me, Jesus. And now, guide me down that right road. Yes, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Yes, Lord, I repent of my sins. Yes, Lord, I trust you now for salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. While the song plays, I just want you to be seated. If you want to make a decision for Christ, get up where out of where you are. Come see me. I'm going to be down front this time. Some of you will want to meet Christ over there at the prayer altar. That's where you'll discover Jesus Christ when you go over there and you give Him your life. Right there. Some of you have been beaten up by the devil and he's got you. You know He's got you. And you want to change direction, so you want to go right over there. And you want to get Him off your back. It's called repentance. Play it, guys. If you're on the right track, pray for somebody that's not on the right track. Thank you. I'll share with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the people said,
Amen.
God bless you.